This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. We are under an hour away from the big reveal. The Texans will be unveiling their uniforms, and they will be available for all the gear will be available for purchase moments later. So keep it tuned right here. The McNairs are in studio with the guys on In the Loop at 11 a.m. today. So, Greg Cosell, you want to set this up, Seth? Greg Cosell was on with Rich Eisen yesterday, right?
Yes, he was. This was, I don't know when he was on with Rich Eisen. It might have been on Friday. But, yeah, Rich Eisen basically revisited last year's draft and, you know, talked about the C.J. Stroud situation. Now, C.J. Stroud is now the standard. That's who you're hoping that you can get in the draft. And
it's just so nice to root for the team that has the gold standard for a quarterback selection the last few years, when there have been a lot of bad quarterback selections the last
few years. So I think Eisen asked him something along the lines of, you know, when did you know that Stroud was maybe the real deal? And Cosell says that he knew very early on in the week two game versus the Colts.
He made some throws in that game week two, whoever the opponent was, I can't even remember. And I just, you know, called in the guys in our matchup room here at NFL Films and said, hey, look at the timing. Look at the anticipation. Look at when he's starting his delivery to throw this ball. He just saw it really, really clearly. And that's a hard thing to teach. And he just saw it really clearly. And the precise ball location, that's what I spoke about earlier. Just he's so precise. And I actually thought his delivery was more compact a year ago with the Texans than it was his last year at Ohio State. So, yeah, he was really, really good.
That was the part that was one of the more encouraging things about CJ last year, was that he actually improved his mechanics in year one. Where especially CJ's a guy who already had good mechanics, and then he further improved them in that first year. Where so much of what you hear about quarterbacks, like Bryce Young last year, is like, well, you can't really fix this during the season. It's something that's going to take a whole offseason. Like, oh, gosh, I think maybe if you draft a guy number one overall and he's had an entire lifetime to work on some of this stuff, that maybe he would
with the greatest coaching that money can buy, as you pointed out earlier,
right,
like personal
right.
coaches and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. So there was that. And then I think the other part, too, is just – the anticipation and the ball placement, like all of those things, I'm listening to that through a filter of how is it going to be different for Stephon Diggs in Houston compared to what it was in Buffalo. And like Josh Allen, for as good as he is, he still does have some of these accuracy issues that pop up at times, you know, and he's not as polished and as precise a passer as other guys. He's very, very, very good. And he's got other traits that CJ doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when it comes to actually executing the offense, like the dream QB scenario, CJ does a lot of stuff that other quarterbacks who are older than him just flat out don't do and probably are not capable of doing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who the last quarterback is that the answer would have been, when did you realize he would be special? And the answer was week two of his rookie year, you know?
Well, you know,
in a loss, by the way.
Right. Well, that jibes with kind of some of the stuff that I had heard about the Jaguars facing CJ in week three.
Mm-hmm.
Was it sure? The Texans were 0-2 at that point. CJ did really well after that first quarter versus the Colts in week two. But it was one of those situations where like, all right, it was really good, but it was also not in garbage time, but playing from behind, and you didn't know for sure how much to take from it. But those Jaguars coaches, I remember Bucky Brooks telling this, because Bucky Brooks was doing the color commentary for the radio. He said the Jaguars coaches before the game, before they had played C.J. Stroud, were basically telling Bucky, like, this dude's no joke, man.
Yeah.
This guy's the real deal.
Yeah.
He's doing some stuff that you just don't see rookies do.
Yeah. I think if I were to look back at this season, we got more from Cosell here in just a second. I remember that week two game against the Colts. I mean, obviously, the game overall stunk because they lost to the Colts and they were 0-2. But I remember saying to, I think it was to Clinton Ron in the press box after the game was over, you know, we're gathering up all our stuff and Clinton and I are getting ready to go down and do the post game. And I remember saying to them, like, okay, this, I don't know a lot about what this team's going to be, but this I know, C.J. Stroud ain't the problem. Like, that was my big takeaway from that Colts game, is like, okay, this guy, he is really, really good. I think C.J. would tell you it was the Pittsburgh game where he started to feel like, okay, this NFL thing. Because that Pittsburgh game, he would also, I think, tell you, like, that was the first team that didn't treat him like a rookie anymore. They did a lot of things that day,
yeah.
You know, that were different than other teams had seen, and he beat them 30-6 in that game at home. Made a lot of really good throws in that game. I think the game that, if you ask people around the league, like, when was the game where C.J. Stroud, like, announced his presence with authority outside of Houston to the rest of the league? And some of this answer may have to do with the fact that they didn't play marquee games really the first part of the year, where they were way up the food chain. But I think that Tampa Bay game gets replayed on the NFL Network constantly.
That was a down-to-the-wire finish that featured a lot of offense and just some circus plays from CJ and Tank,
yes,
and everything else. Yeah, you're right. You're right. That does pop up a lot.
Yeah.
More so than you ever would have expected for a Texans-Bucks game.
A week nine game with two teams that lost in the divisional round of the playoffs. You know?
Yeah,
like, it's wild. So I think that was the one. That was the one, Seth, where I know, like, my take coming in on Monday and in the postgame show was, okay, we've got one of those guys now, like Mahomes is in Kansas City. We're like, okay, can't leave him 46 seconds. He's going to eat you up. You know?
Right, yeah, and no matter what the score is at halftime, if it's a Monday night game or something, with Tom Brady forever, it'd be like, okay, it's halftime. The Patriots are down by 17. I'm going to go to bed. Ah, crap.
Yeah, right. What did I miss?
It's a really great comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. It's nice if that's what it ends up being. This next part, this exchange between Greg Cosell talking about what to expect from CJ in his second year, but he says something about Nico Collins that I think almost caught Rich Eisen off guard. Let's see if you can catch it.
Let's not look at the number of interceptions. He could throw five more interceptions and have a better year. Those are just numbers on a page.
Right.
And you have to look at the plays. But obviously they're going to have three really good receivers because Dell will be back. Nico Collins is a clear number one right now. So they're going to have really good receivers. They have a good tight end.
Yeah, they just added Diggs, too.
That's what I'm saying. They have three really good receivers.
Right.
So I can't imagine, you know, anything's going to be theoretically worse. And again, now you get into numbers and all that, but this kid's a special kid. I've gotten to meet him and know him a little bit. He's a special kid. He's going to be a really, really good player. He is now.
I think Eisen might have been a little surprised that he so emphatically said that Nico was a clear number one. Because I don't think he was. I think he was trying to maybe give a little bit of an assist to Cosell. Even though Cosell had said they'd have three really good receivers, Rich Eisen, to his credit, I think it was like kind of adding that, like, oh yeah, and they added Stephon Diggs.
Sure.
I wonder if he thought that, like, oh, I don't know, did he mean to say Stephon Diggs is a clear number one?
No. What would have been great is if Cosell snapped back and said, yeah, I know he's on the team. What do you think? I thought Noah Brown was one of the three receivers that they were talking about. That would have been funny.
Hey, you know what, though? That is one thing. I'm glad you brought up Noah Brown.
Yeah.
Because I think when it comes to whether or not Stephon Diggs will be satisfied with his production, all of that, I think that without looking at year-by-year totals, if you have to worry about Stephon Diggs agitating for the ball at all, I think as long as he gets a few huge production games, it might not matter, because the rest of the league will be looking at it as, okay, they've got three really good receivers. If all three of them stay healthy, it makes total, like, Stephon Diggs could be really good and still only get like 1,000 or 1,100 yards or
yes,
something. So if he just has a couple of those Noah Brown type games, where Noah Brown had 300 yards receiving over two games, then I think that'll probably be enough. And the teams will still look at him as a guy they want to pick up and maybe pay in the offseason.
The Nico comment obviously was they got a clear number one in Nico Collins. I know you're not into the number one label for wide receivers, but you know the connotation of it. Do you agree with that assessment of Nico Collins?
Yeah, I think so. And I think that the counter argument's going to be like, well, what if he was in another system?
Right.
And I'll give you the old Mike McDaniel. Well, who cares? Like, that's not the situation. In this system, a big guy with run after the catch ability. And remember, Nico Collins broke more tackles after the catch than anybody else in the league last year by a pretty healthy margin, too. And he did it while missing two games. Like, I think some people just don't. I've had pushback from this when I talk about Nico being physical after the catch. I like, some people just don't want to believe that he broke a boatload of tackles last
year.
And I don't know why necessarily, but that's part of it in this system, and he's really, really good at it.
He took some licks over the middle, too, in some games in the second half of the season, particularly when Tank went down and everybody knew the ball was probably going to Nico Collins. Go back and watch some of those games where they needed to move the chains and they were getting the ball to Nico over the middle.
Yeah.
Nico is tough, man. Like, he is a big, tough wide receiver.
So there will be games this year where teams are going to look at Nico as the number one guy that they have to limit or they have to worry about. And then there's going to be other games where I think teams look at Stephon Diggs and feel like, based on their matchups, you know, it very much becomes a match. It's always a matchup league, but especially when a team has three, like, theoretically number one guys or number one production guys or whatever. Your number one receiver doesn't have to be the old X prototype anymore. I think different teams will identify like who they're most concerned about differently.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Look, I know Stephon Diggs is the one who's the most accomplished of the three. I know Nico Collins had the best individual season of the three last year, statistically. I cannot wait to watch Tank Dell this season. I can't. I think Tank Dell is just going to be a monster this season.
They're really going to put some teams in a bind.
Oh.
Man. If all three of those guys are healthy, it's really going to be a pain in the butt. It's going to be a huge pain in the butt to defend. The real big question is, you know, because the Texans are going to run the ball. They're just flat out. They're going to. CJ was really effective. I know that you guys want CJ to cook and all of that. The reason CJ was cooking as well as he was because they did a really good job setting up the play action.
Mm-hmm.
But now they've got to, like, they've got to actually follow through on getting better at running the ball.
Yes.
So that you don't have to rely on just the passing production to be what. Use the run to set up the play action, sure, but let's get some yardage out of it while we're at it.
Do you, where are you on, you said earlier in the show, like, you're cool. We were talking about Saquon Barkley and you were cool with Mixon, you know, as opposed to Barkley. You were not a Barkley guy. I'm not a huge Barkley guy. Where are you on Mixon and with all this array of weapons? Like, what kind of season you think Mixon is going to have this year?
Oh, okay, yeah. Like, so how does he do, you know, does he break rushing records or anything? It's hard to say without knowing, like, at some point who the other running back they're going to add.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think Ogunbowale is, like, who they're probably planning on being the guy with the second most carries. So I expect Mixon to do well. I don't know how to predict. I don't expect them to run him 25 times per game.
No,
I don't think that's the best way to use it. So, I like over 1,000 yards and a good chunk of receiving yards. But whatever, he doesn't have to be Adrian Peterson or anything.
No, I don't think so either. I do wonder, like, okay, who's getting those other carries now? You know, like, as you point out, Ogunbowale is on this team. I think more for his special teams traits than actual running back, and then. I mean, you know, unless Damian has made a big jump this offseason, just, you know, in either watching film or just, you know, being able to step back and see what he was doing wrong. I mean, there wasn't a lot for him to watch of Damian Pierce running the football as the season wound down, you know?
Yeah, he was very minimally used towards the end of the year.
I think they're going to draft a guy probably, you know, running back, I would expect, if they end up drafting 7 or 8, 9 guys, something like that. One will be a running back maybe in day 3, something like that. So we'll see.
I'm a Jared Doakes guy. I'm intrigued by Doakes. I just like the name.
Oh, he was one of those camp bodies that was there. Oh, yeah, he was. Okay,
he's on the roster right now.
Is he? Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. I'm a Doakes guy.
I'm intrigued. Oh, you're that by the
guy.
Name.
Yeah, you're the Doakes guy. I got you.
Yeah.
I love hearing Greg Cosell say all these nice things about C.J. Stroud and the Texans offensively. It's gonna be a fun season.
So how far away are we from this uniform reveal?
45 minutes.
Going right at the end of our show, right?
Right at the end of our show, like literally right at 10 o'clock. We should even count it down maybe here.
And are they going to do – you said you reached out to somebody to ask if they were going to kind of like unveil it in a slick video the way the Broncos did
yesterday.
I believe
they are, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So there'll be some kind of a slick video coming out at 10 on the Texans social media platforms.
Yep.
You are, you're like, how many celebrity appearances do we get in this?
I think for sure we get a healthy amount of hip hop in there.
Yeah.
I'm guessing we get, so Bun B, Paul Wall, all the fellas. As far as like former, I'm guessing we get a ton of current Texans because that was the big thing going on the day they did the private reveal for media and the fan council was they had a bunch of the players coming in. I mean, we've seen the pictures, Tank and. At the very least, Tank and Nico took a bunch of pictures in the white and blue uniform. So I'm guessing we get a bunch of current players. I would like the video to like sprinkle in some of the like just little flashes of like the history of the Texans that are cool moments. Like because you're kind of like trying to encapsulate. Yeah, although you're trying to move on to a new era, so maybe they don't want to harp on. Let me just say it. I would like for Andre Johnson beating the crap out of Courtland Finnegan to find its way into this video somehow. You know,
oh, that'd be cool. I highly doubt that it would.
Yeah.
Especially with the like, hey, we're taking our colors back or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like that.
God, I wasn't even thinking about that. I just like Courtland Finnegan and watching him get his ass kicked, but I wasn't even thinking about the metaphorical part of that.
What about?
Love that.
What ideas were brainstormed that would have been shot down? My first one, if there was a brainstorming session amongst the creative types that the football people would have shot down, I'm Joe creative type brainstorming this. I want to see D'Amico Ryans in a number 59 uniform, not just a jersey, but D'Amico like crashing through
the full,
like dressed as a player with a helmet with a visor on, and he takes the helmet off, and it's D'Amico,
okay,
with blood dripping down his face.
He would. How do you think he looks in a uniform these days?
Probably just better than 90% of NFL players.
Yeah. No, I do too. I'm only bringing that up because the last time, like in my brain, when I hear former player in a football uniform, I'm thinking of Jerry Rice, Dan Marino, and Emmitt Smith.
Those commercials.
Waddling around on those commercials.
Kind of creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I think, and D'Amico's not even 40 yet, and he's in phenomenal shape. So
he would look too good in the uniform. It would almost look kind of weird by him looking just too good in the uniform. So I don't think it's going to be D'Amico wearing, or unless now if they brought back D'Amico and they did like a Terry Tate office linebacker type of thing.
Now that would be funny.
That could be the follow up. Yeah, like D'Amico walking around the office, the front office, wearing his football uniform,
motivating people.
Yeah.
That'd be great. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So, the reveal is at 10 o'clock. The McNair's in studio within the loop at 11 o'clock. We've not heard till today or till recently here from Josh Allen on the Stephon Diggs side of things. We're going to hear from Josh Allen. Does this make us as Texan fans feel better, worse, or about the same about the Stephon Diggs trade when we hear from his former quarterback? We'll let you be the judge. That's coming up next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.